Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I know yesterday I had a lot of ranting to do regarding local government, and there's no doubt in my mind that you probably have the same frustrations with your local government. It seems like it's the same everywhere. They always withhold services for those essential services the government is supposed to provide, and where do they spend the money on other things? It is always the handouts to those people who elect them to ensure that they maintain their control over that part of the electorate. Oh, well, if you vote for us, we're going to give you more. We're going to take more from these people, and then we'll have them go ahead and strap themselves with bonds and levies or what have you on property taxes and so forth to pay for their essential services. And that is, if you understand, the middle class is literally the ones that are really carrying the burden of government. It's not supposed to be that way. Adam Smith was very clear that we needed to keep a control on our government to ensure that it was only spending the money on the essential services and not providing what I call literally buying votes, because I've railed on this before. Whenever a candidate gets up, and that's kind of one of the reasons why I'm going through Trump's address, or I should say Trump's campaign promises, is to find out, you know, what was he promising and how elaborate was it? Because we know Bernie was offering free everything. And that's what the communists do. And they literally destroy the middle class in doing that. And in the process of creating a socialist government, that's exactly what they do. They destroy the middle class. So what we need to do is we need to start actually having the honest conversations with the local government, because the reason why the local government is feeling the squeeze, because they're not getting anything from the state, and the federal government has all these regulations that basically keep them from doing the things that they need to do. And so what other recourse do they have? They only see one course forward, and that's to come back to you and get you to pay for it. And they know eventually they get enough fires in those woods, or you get enough crime or whatever it takes. That's the marketing to force you to see, you know, the results of the kids. I mean, 9 times out of 10, they know you're going to do it for the kids. I mean, you can't be that cold hearted. You got to do it for the kids. And the point is the reason these counties, especially the counties in the western states, and I think it's the same thing in the eastern states, is that the counties have all sorts of abilities and resources and ways forward for their own funding. But because of the regulations that are coming out of these unconstitutional bureaucracies like the EPA and so forth, Energy Department, you name it, because there is just a plethora of tyranny that we're living under the federal government, they are using those bureaucracies to constrain the county's ability to harvest timber, to harvest minerals, to be able to do the things necessary. And they're shaming you because you're killing the earth. You're making the earth sick with a fever and all of that crap. And it has gotten to a point of religion. And that's one of the reasons why when we get into climate news, I like playing some of those old rock and roll songs. Save the planet. Who will save the planet? Yeah, who will volunteer? Because it really puts the spin on the fact that, wow, this is a religious ideology. And that was way back in the 60-70 time frame. I do want to get into some of the news and so forth, but I think it's really important. I wasn't livid, and I'm not seething over this, but this has got to stop. People, if you understand what I'm talking about, then you need to start unseating these county commissioners. You need to unseat these prosecutors. You need to unseat these county leaders who are constantly in the paradigm that, you know, we need these things. You've got to pay for it. And really, the problem, like I was saying, is the education system and the secular progressive indoctrination that's going on in the school system. Get rid of the schools. Start thinking out of the box, and let's start moving back towards a system and a government that actually works, one that has proven that actually took us by the bootstraps all the way to becoming the superpower from literally being just a bunch of, you know, hicks with, you know, no maturity as far as infrastructure or anything else, and we overcame the entire world. The problem was, we had plenty of politicians with machinations in trying to, you know, create a level of control to hold us back so that they can, you know, either get their palms greased by these, you know, greedy bankers, Rothschilds, you name it. There have been all sorts of nefarious deeds done by supposedly good people for noble intent. And every time I hear that, I just basically say, then bottom line, those were nefarious intentions because they were self-serving. And it's really time that we start understanding the real path forward. And the path forward is cutting the unconstitutional strings. The path forward is standing up and literally doing what's best business for you locally. Quit letting the bureaucrats thousands of miles away in some godforsaken city called the District of Columbia and let them tell you how you have to live and the way you will live forward, letting them inject their traffic calming with roundabouts instead of putting a cheaper light, you know, on the highway so that during certain hours there will be, you know, constraints of traffic. I mean, come on. There is no logical sense in why they're using all of these other mechanisms other than to change your behavior, to modify you and to manipulate you into abandoning these outer reaches that are so far out there that, oh, shoot, I mean, it takes so much longer now that I've got all these roundabouts to go through. Yeah, instead of just actually being able to hit the green lights and flow good. So let me move forward with the one thing I need to do, because I obviously didn't get all of it off my chest yesterday, but I do want you to understand that these problems are all connected to the same overarching problem, and it is tyrannical federal government. That is it. If we want to fix most of our problems at the state and county level, get rid of the federal unconstitutional overreach. Problem solved. This show, as I forgot to do, this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as 1798Part2.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And as you can tell, you are listening to the only show that will talk literally point blank and without political correctness. I may not use expletives, but we are not politically correct here, and we will call things what they are, and the problems are where they land and where they actually are falling from, because they're falling from the legs of the federal government, from the Leviathan. And so we're the show that is the only show that will give you the processes in getting the federal government back into compliance to the Constitution. And in doing that, the states will actually start, they'll start self-correcting as well, because the people will demand it. They will realize how much better life is when government is in compliance to the Constitution. We do not have the level of problems that everybody is making this out to be, that we're going to die tomorrow from global warming. Everybody can, you know, I'm not even going to go down that path right now. What I do need to do is I kind of need to move forward, because I want to get through some news before I get into Trump's 282, some more of Trump's 282 campaign promises. We're marching forward towards the last week or whenever the State of the Union address is, if that doesn't change. But as you know, I do need some help, so let me do some obligatory groveling. If you can spare a few dollars, send them to us via the crowdfunding on GoFundMe. We are the Reclaiming the Republic campaign, If you want to find the link directly to it, go to my reclaimingtherepublic.org domain, and you can just click on that. That'll take you there, and you can contribute that way. Another way you can contribute is sending me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. That will allow you to basically let me know how, what kind of bandwidth you have, what kind of tools, what can you do, and how can you do it. So that way you can actually, you know, get involved in helping us. And so we will be able to start communicating via email, and we will be able to create a symbiotic relationship and hopefully be able to develop a level of synergy for you in your county and in your state so that you can come forward and do everything possible in leading both your county and state in the direction of reclaiming the republic. I would also recommend that you get involved in these other organizations such as the Constitution Club and the, I think it is the First Right or something like that regarding the First Amendment. We're going to have Erin on. I'm working with her to get ready so that we can do a basic interview and actually talk about their efforts and what they're trying to do so I can prove to you that what they're going to do is going to help drain the swamp and get us back into a more constitutional framework so that we can actually have the appropriate representation as the framers had designed within our constitutional republic. So as you can tell, I'm at a hard break. And so when we come back, we're actually going to have some news, and we'll dive into that, and then we'll go into some more of Trump's campaign promises. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so let me do an aside or go on a little tangent, because every once in a while I get little questions about the show. And so you may have the same questions. Whether you do or not, I'll give you some information. The music that I am using for this show is Aaron Copland. Stuart Copland is in Police, a rock and roll drummer. But Aaron Copland is an American composer that was asked by the socialist, I forget the guy's name, he was the vice president of FDR at the time, before Truman became the vice president, because, you know, FDR was president for a long time and had a few different vice presidents, kind of like Nixon. Anyway, he basically went to Copland and said, we need to have a fanfare for the common man to help this music become a rallying point in bringing the people together to embrace government as their, he probably didn't use the words as their God, but he basically was moving in the same direction as what they were doing in, as you know, in Germany and in Russia and so forth, kind of using a religious presentation of government so that people could kind of gently turn away from their worship and gently turn away from their religious paradigms and embrace government as the wholesale replacement and solution for everything that they have in life. I mean, fundamentally, these guys were communists. I mean, I could go on and on, but I just want to give you the background. The reason I'm using that particular song was because in the Progressive Era, this song was the song that was used as the rallying cry for socialism. And I'm actually using this as the rallying cry to take back in reclaiming our Constitution, reclaiming our republic. And so, what better song to use than the song that they used to devise in engulfing us into socialism and using that exact same song? It's a powerful song. I like it. It's an American composer. It may have been asked for or commissioned for all the wrong reasons, but let's use these types of things as weapons against them. So anyway, let me kind of dive forward. As you know, I always do scan the news, and there is no hope that the federal government is going to get rid of any of its unconstitutional government. I did send off a letter to Trump, and I'm not sure if it got lost in the mix, but I truly believe that he could use all sorts of bargaining weapons currently against the Democrats during this government shutdown. It is obvious that there are mechanisms that he has as the president because his number one responsibility is faithfully execute the laws of the land. The most supreme law of the land is the Constitution. And that's why I kind of go through this several times in identifying that, you know, the Constitution is limited and defined. And Trump, if he had the epiphany, could start going, hey, where did we get the delegated authority from the states to have this burdensome regulatory agency called the EPA? I mean, this is a weapon that the federal government is using against the states. And they never gave us this authority to do this. It's gone. And write an EO declaring it to be so, even though Congress has to be the ones to constitutionally do that to make it legitimate. But presidents all the time have created powers from the Department of Interior, Department of Agriculture, Department of Labor. I mean, all these different progressive presidents from the mid-1800s on, they've all started instituting these unconstitutional executive departments. And Congress has kind of given the blank check. There's no reason why a president can come along and say, I see this as an absolute violation of the Constitution and write it away. And I'm telling you, if he did that, you'd probably see Nancy Pelosi melt like a witch was hit with water. I mean, just right down to the ground. And you'd probably see Flumer. You'd probably see Chucky Boy grab his heart, you know, like a Fred Sanford and Sons, right? Fred Sanford, grab his heart. Oh, Louise, I'm coming. And just start leaning backwards and have a heart attack. I mean, these people would probably go into pure panic mode. Get rid of the DOT, get rid of the HHS, get rid of education. Just start writing these things away and then say, hey, America, we're going to save you. We're going to get rid of this debt and you're going to be able to keep your taxes and you're going to be able to take back your education. You're going to have all the controls you need now. All we need is you, the states, to stand up and make this the final assertion. I mean, and then have the states literally do the audit and go, you know what, you're right. We actually do not need to be doing these things. We need to demand that you, you know, relinquish these things and, you know, basically call out the fact that you had violated our Constitution. And that's why these things are being decommissioned and shut down. It's pretty simple, folks. It's not that hard. But anyway, that is something for another day. But I will say this. I don't know if you heard in the news that Sears has been saved. Somebody, some investors out there have floated $5.2 billion to save Sears. That's a good investment. Now, I like some of the things that Sears has done historically, but the paradigms have shifted, and sometimes people just cannot give up. I mean, Sears has to completely reinvent itself, and Sears literally has to get rid of all of its overhead, employees, and so forth. And, you know, I'd be all behind Sears if Sears's model was to literally become the direct online competition for Amazon and use its money for good in, you know, liberty and the causes of, you know, a good American cause instead of the Bezos, tear apart America, use our data for spying on, you know, with the government on Americans and so forth. I've always despised, I mean, I like a, you know, a real good American story of American capitalism and success. But that is not the case with Amazon. Amazon had been mollycoddled by the government for years and years. The reason being is because they were sharing all of the information that you, whenever you look at something, whenever you stop at something, you search for something, all that data they have, that what you are doing on their page and when you're shopping, and Google's doing the same thing, all of this tracking is not just by happenstance for, you know, marketing information. They're actually providing this to intelligence analysts, and they're getting better and better at automating the analysis and processing to start connecting the dots so that you could automatically be fake flagged for a terrorist threat. Oh, look, he looked at this, you did this, you bought that, and you've been here and there. And you know, that to us, you know, that makes the smell of a terrorist right there. We're going to come and arrest you. I mean, we're getting into that position, and Amazon has been a huge part of moving us in that direction. Same thing with Google. That's why I rail on these companies. These companies are anti-American, and I would love to see Sears go after them, but I don't think that's the case. But I will tell you this, I do not need even a tenth, not even a tenth of that kind of money to guarantee saving our constitutional republic. I don't need to be an elected official to make this guarantee, and I don't even need to run for office. All I need to do is get this message into the hands of those who truly love this country, these red states, and literally start creating this model of how to kill the rhinos. We got to go rhino hunting, and we've got to kill every single rhino that is in existence in the states. You know, drive them out, especially these red states, and get good constitutional, you know, Thomas Jefferson, James Madisonian mind model people in these states to stand up and do what those guys did in 1798. I'm telling you, we could do this with a fraction of the money. And we're setting up the model. We're going to be moving forward, and I hope we can do this in time. That's kind of why I'm always kind of groveling a little bit. We can't do this alone. Jefferson, you know, did a great amount of work on his own, but even George Washington fighting the revolution, and even with Madison, they had to have financial backing in creating the first Republican Party and so forth. And so one of the things that I'm hoping that we can, you know, start getting some, you know, some financial assistance coming into this. But anywho, let me kind of move on. One of the things I do want to say regarding the State of the Union, I assure you've heard the news, but it looks like Nancy Pelosi wants to delay the State of the Union until after we find, you know, a pathway forward for everybody to get along and agree with what, you know, they want to do. And what they really want to do is say, no, we're not going to give you a wall, but you need to just open up the government. Because remember, the Democrat Party is a party of no compromise. The Republican Party has always been the party of compromise, and that's never changed. Show me a time where a conservative value has been either reinserted or asserted and injected into our government. Show me one time where the Democrats have said this is a good thing to do. Maybe going to war, but never doing something that would actually reinstill morals or put us back on a path of recovery. They've always been chipping away and decaying. It's almost like going to the dentist and, you know, giving the kids candy and actually giving them candy subscriptions so you could see them more often so that eventually the kids would be end up becoming toothless. That would be a maniacal dentist, wouldn't it? Well, I'm at a hard break, and we do have more news before we get into the Trump 282, so please stay tuned, and I will be right back after a message, or actually some promos, so please stand by. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. What would happen if all of a sudden Trump goes ahead and does the State of the Union while we're in the middle of this shutdown? And what would happen if Trump actually articulated the argument of a limited government and actually provided and actually cited some of the ratification debates and exactly how hard defined and how closed the federal government is to being able to create any of its roles, responsibilities, and powers outside the scope of the Constitution, that they would have to go to the states to amend the Constitution to create these things like the EPA, Department of Transportation, and provide the academic evidence that three presidents had literally vetoed Congress's attempts in the very beginning in trying to create a Department of Transportation. I'm telling you, the divine providence is overwhelming when you start really looking at the documentation that we have and how, if you put it all together, it is almost like, oh my gosh. The Lord knew that if we, you know, when we got to this point, that we would have the level of technology to be able to put all of this stuff together and literally refute the positions and everything regarding the government, as far as the federal government and what they are doing and the roles that they have usurped. So how powerful would that be if Trump got up there and articulated this in the State of the Union and said, bottom line, folks, we're going to have to shut down the EPA. We're going to have to shut down the Department of Education and literally go through all 12 departments and say, we're even going to have to shut down this Department of Justice because bottom line, we do not have the authority to be doing any of this. However, I believe that we need to move this back to the states so that the states can do the job of what needs to be done in cleaning up government and cleaning up the swamp. How powerful would that message be? Now, I understand the importance of having walls, and I truly believe that just a southern wall will not be enough because do you think China is stupid? Do you think do you think our friend Trudeau is going to stop all the Muslim bad players to be able to just, hey, come on through here if you want to go down into, you know, America and do terrorist attacks? We're okay with being that portal because Canada, at least Trudeau, is in the position of allowing those types of things to happen because he is an enemy of liberty and is a champion for enslavement to government. So we have no other choice but to truly actually build a wall to ensure that people just can't do-si-do across our border and do bad things. Sorry. We have a national precedence, we have a national requirement, we have a constitutional requirement that the federal government do everything it can to protect us from invasions and bad players. Things may have changed a little bit since back then, and there's no doubt in my mind if they understood what we would have been facing, they would have put the wall in front of a lot of the other things that they were probably doing. Anyway, that needs to be literally put out there. And I honestly believe that Trump could, in the State of the Union, say, we are going to start pumping out EOs and start getting rid of all this government. And oh, by the way, we have done the calculations, or actually they could, you know, point to the, what is it, the CBO or whatever, COB. I think it's the CBO. It's, you know, where they do the budget, you know, projections of what will happen if this changes or that changes. And the projection is that we'll actually be running in such a black mode that we'll actually be able to pay down the debt within, you know, by the end of my presidency, or almost all of it will be done at the end of my second term by doing all of this work. And we need your help. And like I keep saying, I'm reclaiming the Republic and I need your help. We need this message to get out. And every once in a while, I remember to thank you, and I need to thank you now because the fact that you are listening, the fact that you are getting this message out, the fact that this radio show is growing, this message is growing. I'm actually being reached out by lots of leaders, and that's great. And hopefully we can create symbiosis, and with that symbiosis, we can develop synergy and actually get this message moving into these dark red states so that the dark red states, because it's not about me on a radio show. It's not about me in trying to, you know, sign this or sign this. You know, we need to get our public servants to sign pledges about honoring the Constitution. You know, as religious as I am, and you hear me dabble into, you know, religious doctrine and what have you, we have to put all of that aside. We have to put our differences aside. We have to put our self-interest aside. And we have to literally land on that one document the good Lord gave us. Because within that document, it even says we're not even supposed to have religious tests. But I believe that if we stand on the limited doctrine of you can't do it if it's not been amended, then bottom line, the federal government can't do it. And it leaves the states to their own demise. And it instills individual liberty and individual sovereignty at the state level and at the human individual level as well. And so I just want to, you know, kind of leave it with that. I would just love to see Trump do that with the State of the Union. So that's one of the reasons why we're going through these Trump campaign promises, so that you can actually hear a lot of the things that he said. And you probably won't hear him, you know, he's definitely not like Bernie. Free everything for everybody. One of the things I want to do, and I don't have the time to do it now, I'll probably just maybe dedicate a good part of a show or a couple of segments to Snowden, because there's lots of libertarians and there's lots of patriots out there that really look at Snowden as a hero, and I'm telling you, he's not. I understand that there are systemic problems within the intelligence community, self-checking and so forth, but that is because of the paradigm that the government has been operating. We need to start really shifting our paradigm. Snowden, if he was a smart individual, he would have done a lot of things a lot different. But as I tell people, the first thing he did was he ran. And so there's no doubt in my mind, he knew, he wasn't thinking of American people. He was thinking of not getting caught. And so until he was in a position where he wasn't going to get caught, he hedged his bets first. So, you know, there's no doubt that he is smart, but he is not a good, he's not a hero. He's not a good player. And so I need to do a dedicated show to that. I would invite anybody that wants to call in and talk about it, because I've had several long and honest conversations with people. Believe me, I've worked in that world. I've had that level of a clearance for 30-some years. 30-some years I've been in that dark, dark world of clearances in the intelligence community. And what he did was treasonous, period. There are people that were exposed. Our processes were exposed. He did more damage than just telling us that the American. I mean, we already knew. As I've said this before, we knew a long time ago. We knew that Amazon was spying and giving that information to the CIA long before Snowden decided to defect. You know what I mean? We already knew the deep state existed. There were plenty of people. Did Snowden make it a mainstream thing? I don't think so. I just think that, you know, people at this point in time have become so fed up that they just kind of, they want to grab onto something as a hero. Oh, well, this is it. I can tell you who's not a hero as well, and that's John Kasich. Here's a guy that claims to be a Republican, and this is why it is important that the Republican Party controls its brand, because the Republican Party, the National Republican Party, should have stripped John McCain, they should have stripped the Bushes, they should have stripped John Kasich, and anybody that goes outside their platform. But the Republican Party doesn't care about, you know, maintaining and protecting its brand. They only care about control. And the Republican Party is not a bottom-up organization. It is a top-down. And that's all got to change, because it's the globalists that are controlling the parties, because it's all about money and control, my friends. It's always been about that. I'm not sure if you're surprised with the fact that John Kasich has found a new home in CNN, and he will, I guess he'll be a contributor or what have you. I guess they'll label him as a conservative, but you'll probably find that they'll be calling him comrade right there on the Communist News Network. But anywho, everybody, I'm sure you're well aware of this whole Brexit deal and how things have gone. And I've been telling you, it seems like May has been trying to do everything she can to undermine. And with this loss in the election, I cannot believe that she has basically passed through this vote of confidence by Parliament. That's what happens when you have leaders that tell you one thing, or, you know, if they don't have the credentials, don't elect them. There's too much at stake. You can't just, you know, count on, well, we're going to have a Trump out of this one. Because as I tell people, you know, before the election, there were no credentials with Trump to being the champion of individual liberty. He was Mr., you know, I'll build it there. And he was very flamboyant and so forth. I mean, he's been out there. He's a big star. He's not that he's not a successful man, but he's never been a champion for conservative causes or the Constitution. As I told people, he knows less about the Constitution than probably any other president, because he knows everything about business, not the Constitution. Do you have to know everything about the Constitution to be a good leader? No, but it helps. Come on, it helps, right? Anyway, it sure seems like the deep state, just trying to close on this May thing, it sure seems like the deep state is not going to let England go and you know, execute this Brexit. There's too much riding on it. There are way too many Islamists that are banking and actually just homesteading right there to destroy that country. And, you know, it's the globalist and the crown that's actually in support of all of this crap. It's just hard for me to fathom that the leaders of their own country are literally allowing them to just destroy their own country and their people. When we get back, we're going to have some more of Trump's campaign promises. So please stay tuned. I'll be right back. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so let's dive into these. I noticed in some of my promos, I talk about, and when I talk, I refer to roles, responsibilities, and powers. If you read some of my content, you're going to clearly dig out of it that the fact is I acronym those. Roles, responsibilities, and powers are RRPs, right? Roles, responsibilities, and powers. And so when you happen to see that acronym, sometimes people go, what the heck does that mean? That literally are those things that the federal government executes or is taking a position on, their role, a responsibility, or a power. And so RRPs literally come from the states. States have to delegate that role. They have to delegate that responsibility or that power to the federal government. And so just anyway, I'm sorry for the aside there, the tangent. But number 41 on Jenna Johnson's 282 promises by President Trump or candidate Trump at the time. And this promise is kind of like one of those pithy, you know, sound bites, but probably not one of those that's really realistic, and I'll tell you why. But let me give you the soundbite. Cut the budget by 20% by simply negotiating better prices or negotiating existing deals. Now, 20% is a nice number, but having worked in government contracting, I can tell you we squeeze many a times our company would take a loss just to get in the door so that we could get to a point where we're making, you know, we're breaking even. A lot of times with the fixed contracts we have, we usually don't, you know, cost plus or whatever. Very rarely do you have an opportunity to make a lot of money. Companies usually don't make much money, especially in the, you know, government contracting. The only way they actually make money, their profits come in their performance assessments where they have these little things that are called awards that they, you know, they throw a percentage of the contract out there. And if you perform ahead of schedule, on schedule, and you perform, you know, per the contract, they'll give you part of that award. And now they're incentivized to try to find either security violations or these little things, or what, you know, they scrutinize you and your performance so that they can save some of that. Because if they save some of that, then they've saved you, the taxpayer, some money. But those award fees are not that significant in the grand scheme of the cost of the contract. I'm just saying that I can't believe that there's really that much room that they could just simply negotiate away that. But most people would think, oh, yeah, that's how it is. Taking the profits complete. You know, it's one thing to just say, okay, you know, profits are evil. But that's just the wrong thing to say. People deserve to be able to make money. Some people are ideologues like myself that aren't trying to make money. I'm just trying to break even. I'm trying not to be the subsidizer of saving your constitution and my constitution and our republic. And so anyway, there's nothing evil about, you know, a company actually making money. It's a very noble thing, because as a company can grow, it can employ more people, and it is doing more help to the, you know, the local economy, the broader economy, and what have you. So anyway, number 42. Implement the penny plan, which each year would reduce the net spending by 1% of the previous year's total over 10 years. Trump says this would reduce spending by almost $1 trillion in defense, and public safety spending would be exempt. Those are nice things, but how about let's just say, you know, let's implement the constitutional plan. And let's not spend money on things that we have no authority to spend money on. That's the message that Trump needs to get out during the State of the Union. And if you want to see the Democrats all of a sudden just, I mean, it'll be pandemonium. They'll go crazy. They know that the Constitution is their greatest enemy. The facts and the documentation that support the hard limited constitution, they do not want you to know this. I am probably the biggest enemy to the, you know, the globalist, as well as the, you know, the democratic, secular, progressive, evil people that are out there, because I'm their kryptonite. This message I'm articulating is their demise, because there is nothing they can defend. They can't defend themselves. It is that clear. It is that cut and dry. And so I would love to see Trump. I don't have to be up there doing that. Trump can do this. Any good, conscientious, any good American-loving leader would do this. Number 43, immediately institute a hiring freeze on all federal employees to reduce the workforce through attrition. There would be exemptions for those in military, public safety, and public health. Now, I kind of like this, but it's still not good enough. How about this, like, saying, hey, if you were working in an unconstitutional department, hasta la vista. Actually, you know, that's not my plan. My plan is to give those people fair warning and let them have, you know, some dignity in trying to find a job within 6 months or what have you before you cut them loose. That would be the best way to do it. Who would not want to have an opportunity that, you know your job's going to go away, but you got 6 months. It doesn't matter. You know you are going to lose your job. Get over it, get through the process of grieving, whatever you need to do, and start getting your resume out there and start looking across America for a better place to work, because DC is going to be, it will no longer be the richest counties around DC. Those will no longer be the richest counties in the United States, because the federal government, you know, basically sifting off or siphoning off, you know, all of the taxpayers' monies for all of these lobbyists and so forth, as well as corporations pouring money into it. That's going to dry up. That will dry up if we are adhering to the Constitution. Number 44, order every federal government department head to provide a list of wasteful spending projects that we can eliminate in my first 100 days. And he actually has done pretty good on this. I mean, for somebody that doesn't understand that you could just use the Constitution, dismantle all of this, unnecessary spending and this whole deep state, He's actually been doing very good on this. And I know lots of people, you know, like this, but it's not enough. It is not enough. And the next president that's going to come in is going to put steroids in this. He also says, review each agency and then decrease the size of the bloated government, making it leaner and more responsive to the public. Well, it shouldn't be responsive to the public. It should actually be responsive to the Constitution, right? It's supposed to do these very specific things. It's not supposed to be the end-all, answer-all to the public. That's our problem. We have no business going there and putting our hands out and say, give me money. That's not the role of the federal government. Read the Constitution. Go look at the ratification debates, the Federalist Papers. It clearly states that that was never the intent of the federal government. Stop spending money on space exploration until the United States can fix its potholes. Encourage private space exploration space exploration companies to expand. And that's kind of happened, but actually that didn't happen, because what ends up happening is we've got this new Space Force, or United States Space Force, that's moving forward, right? Because in his presidency, I think it was just this last year, he said, we need to go into space for the military. And I believe that is correct. With China, India, and all of these other potential, and India maybe not the greatest in potential of evil players, but China and Russia already being there, we do have to protect our interest in space. And I forget, there was an author that talked about that there, you know, even Japan and other countries would start developing and getting to a point where they could become, once again, a potential threat to American interest. Number 46, he goes into stop so-called zombie spending, in which the government funds programs that have had their congressional authorization lapse. By cutting 5% of the spending, Trump estimates he could save over $200 billion, and there would be his wall right there. Number 47, collect unpaid taxes, which Trump says could be as much as $385 billion a year from all the progressive tax dodgers. If you look, how many people in Obama's administration were tax dodgers and got caught and had to, oh, well, that was an oversight, and I'm going to have to pay that, and here's a check. Because Timmy Geithner, the guy that was in charge of the Treasury, he was one of those people, remember? Yeah, that's right. Number 49, dismantle the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, which aims to prevent the excessive risk that led to the financial crisis and was signed into law by Obama in 2010. All good, but not good enough. But anyway, I may seem a little myopic, right? I mean, sometimes we're just so focused on actually the constitutionality that, you know, we kind of ruin everybody else's fun. Anyway, not that I'm trying to spoil anybody else's fun, but let's get into some regulations. On number 50, here is what he has to say, and I only have enough time to finish this one. Number 50, issue a moratorium on new federal regulations that are not compelled by Congress or public safety. For every new regulation that is added, two existing regulations must be eliminated, and those new regulations must pass this test. Is this regulation good for the American worker? And there you go. I mean, again, they have no business regulating the American worker. They have no business regulating those types of businesses. That is a state's role, responsibility, and power, but it is what it is. And until we start getting everybody equally educated and equally informed, then we're not going to be able to agree. But the bottom line is, I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and I'll be back tomorrow. So God bless and have a great evening. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.